the words exactly are, what is sacred to God must be sacred to us. You hear that?
The mic's not volume.
No? How's that? Is it better?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's sacred to God must be sacred to us. You know, all the years that I've been Christian, I've heard many different messages. I've given many different messages. And sometimes it all sounds the same. And it seems like we as people need to be reminded over and over again some of the very same things that we've heard many, many times. And it's important for us, I think, that we really grab a hold of this and really pull it in. The words that I'm going to be speaking here, and that phrase that I mentioned, what is sacred to God should be sacred to us. Think about that, you know, in terms of how we think, how we act, how casual we can be about the things of God. And here we are, you know, living a life that's just going to be a little blip in time. And we're going to stand before our Maker and live in an eternal realm. That's, I think a lot of us, all of us, are going to look back and say, why did I keep thinking like that? Why did I keep acting like that? Why couldn't I give that up? You know? Why didn't I see that I was not the kind of person I needed to be to my wife, to my daughter, to this friend, to that person that I work with? You know? What's wrong with me? You ever hit yourself in the forehead? What's going on here? You know? And what? Oh yeah. What is it about us? You know, even to listen to some old balding man talking to you about something, and for you to be able to grab a hold of it, and to realize that lots of times, God speaks through people. And not just the person that's preaching. God speaks through people a lot of the time. This is how he does it. This is one of the reasons we're called the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. And that's because we're his eyes and ears and mouth and hands and feet, and we're who he moves through a lot in this world to reach out to the world. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so, how important is it that we're very sensitive to be led by His Spirit? More and more and more and more. And that we're not satisfied with the level of, quote, spirituality that we have right now, but that we yearn for more. Now, you can stir yourself up inside your own heart to say, God, I want more. I don't feel like it. Maybe I don't feel like it right now, but I want more of you. And demand that really out of yourself. Mm-hmm. There's times where, you know, you just get so overwhelmed with what's going on in the world and in your life and the situations that you have to cry, we have to cry out to God to just give us the spiritual energy, the spiritual desire to move on with Christ. Because lots of times life can just make it so that we just want to give up. Yes?
Yes.
Please talk back. So we're going to look here in Matthew 13, because one thing that I want to talk about, which seems to come out of me a lot, is our, and somebody said it, it must have been Melinda, she usually says something I want to say, you know, we need to worship the Lord in all kinds of different ways. You know, mostly when we think of worship, we think of raising our hands and praising God in song, but our actions are really important in our worship to God. How we act, how we think, how we respond, what we're doing in this life, not being lazy, hearing God and doing what God's telling us to do is really, really important. That's part of our worship, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I want to say that especially in times of trouble, like our country's in, like we can be in our own individual lives with whatever's going on in our life, whether we're going through a problem of some type, you know, especially in those times, that we need to be people of action. Of action, right? Sometimes all we can do is pray about something. But more times than not, our prayers lead us to some kind of action, which is going to be important. And it happens on the individual level and the family level and the church, and with what we do as a church body and what we do in the community and how that's going to eventually affect a nation that we're in. And there's lots of trouble that's happening. And I mentioned this last week when we started out, or at some point during the message, we were in Matthew 5 and talking about the salt of the earth. You know, the church is supposed to be the salt of the earth. And I talked about that last week somewhat. And I'm going back to this to start this off, because God seems to want to push this on us again for us to grab a hold of it maybe a little more deeply. So, in Matthew 5, verse 13, it says, "You are the salt of the earth." So I want to talk about salt again, and let's rehearse this a little bit in terms of what that means. What's it mean to be the salt of the earth? Anybody? What's it mean?
Well, this is a...
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
It's funny, this week, it seems like I kept hearing the word preserve, and I never hear that word, and it just kept coming over and over, not just blackberry preserves, but to preserve. And that's what salt does. That's what was used in the Middle Ages, so that they could have their meat longer. They preserved it in salt, and it's still done today. So it preserves precious things.
It preserves precious things, right? It keeps it going longer, right? It's a preserving factor. The church is a preserving factor in the world. All right. Anything else that you can say?
It brings out
the flavor of something.
It enhances
flavor. It enhances what you're going to taste. So in this life, the church, being the salt of the earth, is supposed to bring out the best, maybe, bring out the best of that flavor that's in people, that's in this world, how we look at the world, how we react to the situations that happen in life. The church should be there as salt, as a preserving factor, as an enhancing factor to this world, right? Amen? There's nobody that's going to disagree with that, right?
Amen.
Yes.
It also purifies.
Salt can purify things. Good. I'm going to get to that.
I know what I do when we do what?
When we do deer hides and stuff, yes, it preserves, but it also prevents it from rotting.
Yeah. Okay. So it keeps things from rotting. What's going to happen if the church is taken out of the world? You know, the scripture is real clear about that, isn't it? That sin is going to take its course. Yeah. There's going to be a time when something like that is going to happen in this world. So, the word preserve, this salt, this preservation, you know, to preserve something, means to sustain, to protect, to guard, to save. Isn't that something? The Greek word there. I wrote down as a little note here, wildlife preserve. Alright? You've heard of wildlife preserves?
Yes.
Right? Well, what's happening in a... What's the purpose of a wildlife preserve?
To save
animals. Yeah? And tell me some more. What's going on at the preserve? Tell me something else.
Protecting them.
Set up. Go ahead. Say
protecting
it again.
Protecting them and caring for them.
There's a protection and a care that's involved. Are they scattered all over the place? So there's a gathering together in a particular area. It's a particular place, isn't it? A wildlife preserve is a particular place, isn't it? Okay, so Colossians 4:6 says that even when we speak to people, that our speech is supposed to be seasoned with salt. So we should always be careful how we even speak to one another, to people that are outside of the church. We should be very careful about that. Not have some bad attitude. Not always be down in the dumps about things or complaining about what's going on in the world. That can be easily done, can it? We can complain to one another about individual things that are happening at home or at work or whatever. But we don't want to always be doing that, do we? We want what we say. We want to bring it to a higher place. We want to bring it to a preserving factor where when we speak to people, we're seasoning with salt and say, well, yeah, things are pretty bad, but you know what? We do have the Lord, and we do know that everything is going to turn to good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful scripture?
Yes.
You know, and we've got to season our thoughts, and we have to season our actions and what we speak with that preserving factor, the thing that's going to build up and save and protect and guard our minds and hearts. Amen? We've got to do this. We've got to do this for ourselves before we can really do it for other people. But I want to say that what the Lord really has been pushing on us is the fact that it isn't for us. We have to be ready for what's going to be going on in this world. Because it's very clear what Jesus says about coming to the end of the age and before he comes back, that there's going to be all these things. It's going to be a time of trouble that has never happened before in the history of the world. Well, if it's never happened before in the history of the world, how do you get ready for that? You know? How do you even be prepared for something like that? Well, we need to be tucked in God, don't we?
Yeah.
All right, so let's look at something here. Would you go to Psalm 32? You know how things don't just happen here in church or in our lives. Lots of things that take place are confirmed by other things that are said or done. And I don't believe that what I'm saying is just some message that I've picked out. And everybody that's preached in this church, we always are praying to God for the word that God wants to speak right now to the people that come to the church or on Zoom in the church, right?
Yes.
That's important for us to understand. We want what God wants to say right now. Not just some little contrived message that's in the Bible that we can pull out and put together. We want to know what God is speaking at this time to us for our benefit, for what we are to be doing so that we conform to His will. And that what is sacred to Him is going to be sacred to us.
Yes.
That we take it seriously. That we hold on to it. And we don't let the things of this life and this world get in our way. Now, I'm talking to you and I'm looking at myself, and I know that none of us are perfect and we fall on this all the time. But we better pick ourselves back up. Because there's a big world that is going to need what God is working in our hearts over these that He has been doing, and He's going to work over for the next numbers of weeks, months, years. I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to be. But there's significant things that Jesus talks about that we're not even going to get to today in the message. But I want us to really realize He's preparing us for that great harvest of souls that He promised was going to happen before He came back. So there's no doubt in my mind, in probably most of your minds, that there's going to be this great coming to Christ, the great revelation of what He did on the cross, and the acceptance of what He did to bring people into His family, and for them to know the love of Christ that passes all understanding. Isn't that right? Now listen to these. Did I even do this yet? I didn't do Psalm 32 yet. Alright, Psalm 32. We're going to just read, just read verse 7 here. You are my hiding place. You will preserve me from trouble. You will compass me about with songs of deliverance.
Yes.
Now I want to talk about this here for a minute, because that word preserve, if you remember, there's a whole bunch of little words that could deal with, right? Let me see if I can find where I am. Oh yeah. So it says here that he's our hiding place. So he's a refuge, right?
Yes.
We tuck into the Lord when things go bad, when there's trouble, right? We can tuck into God. We're not going to be able to do it on our own. We need His wisdom and His guidance to know how to handle situations. You ever notice that when you just react to something on your own, it usually doesn't work out too well? Yeah. But, you know, like what Joe was saying, you know, learning how to be patient in trial, right? When trouble's around, when things aren't going the way that you want them to. This is a long process that we go through to get better and better at trusting God, tucking into God, knowing that He will take even bad situations and turn them to good. Because that's the kind of God He is. That's who He is. That's who we come to know Him to be as life continues to go on. Isn't that right? And the more that we tuck into God and not just get caught up in our situations, the better off we are. We learn more and more and more how great and faithful He is. Amen? Would you have an amen?
Amen.
Amen, right? We understand that, right? You know how I am with this. You participating, whether you have something to say or just in places where you agree with what somebody says in a church, you know, we use the word amen. But it doesn't have to be that. You know, what's amen mean?
So be it.
So be it. You know? You're connecting with those words. You're putting more power into the words when you go amen, or if you say so be it, or yes, I believe that. There's something more that happens to you and I when we engage in the words of somebody else.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
So that's why. It's not because I need all this reinforcement.
But I do.
Everybody does, right? Everybody needs a little bit of reinforcement. But that's not the overarching thing. The thing that really is important for any of us when we're listening to a message is to not only be engaged with our ears, but with our minds and with our bodies. Right? To be engaged. And body-wise, saying something back usually has something, or, you know, people stand up, or you clap, or you raise your arms, or, you know, when we're worshiping, we do that. Some. Because we're body, soul, and spirit. We're getting engaged with the Lord.
Yes.
It isn't just with our minds, not just with our spirits, with our spirit. It's everything about us, and we're going to engage with everything that of who we are.
Yes.
So important for us. I know you know all this, but God's speaking to us again, encouraging us again, you know, to take this the way He wants it to be taken. Okay. So He's our hiding place, and He preserves us from trouble. It isn't that He takes us, I want to make this very clear, He doesn't take us out of trouble or put us in a little bubble. He doesn't do that. Because notice, the rest of that says that he encompasses, surrounds us with songs of deliverance. Well, you got to be in something to get delivered from it, right? So it isn't like you don't have the trouble. It's not affecting you. It's not pounding you in your heart or your mind. It's happening to you. But he has a way of getting us to live through that, finding the strength to take care of situations, right? And he will deliver us from all of that. Even like what we saw earlier with Toby Mack, even tragedy, the hurt, the sorrow of tragedy, he can deliver us from anything when we're submitted unto him. Isn't that right?
Amen.
And oh man, don't we need that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad somebody said amen. Okay. So, yeah, we're not out of the fight, but we can get through the fight. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. And then, just to go along with that, Psalm 46, real quick. We won't spend too much time with this, but Psalm 46, verse 1 and 2, says this: God is our refuge. God is our strength, our very present help in trouble. You know that Toby Mack song, Help is on the Way? Huh?
Yes.
Here, that was emphasized. Help is on the way. He is our very present help in trouble.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
And then verse two says, therefore we will not fear. Boy, isn't it the fear of something that really gets us most of the time?
Yes. Yeah.
Something happens with somebody in the family, and then the fear of particular things, I know what my mind's like, something takes place and I play that out to the nth degree of what possibly could happen. All the different scenarios, and I go down every stupid one of them.
Yes.
And get all worked up over every single one of the possibilities that could happen in a particular situation. I'm learning, but it's difficult because, you know, this is how I've been. Some people just can everything's going to be okay. I want John to lay hands on your heart and, you know, give me that peace of mind and heart that he has as he addresses situations. He has a better hold on that than lots of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I admire that, John. I admire that he's able to do that. Because I'm not like that. But I want to get there, right? It is an attribute that all of us should want. Don't you think?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I got my own issues.
Yeah, we all have our other things, you know. Okay, so this whole thing about the church. Matthew 28:19. Does anybody know? Without even looking, don't look. Matthew 28:19. What does Jesus tell his apostles to do? Let's see if anybody knows this scripture right off the top of your head.
Go and tell the world to make disciples.
What were you going to say?
Go into the world and make disciples of all nations.
Oh. Go into the world and make disciples of all the nations.
Wow.
Now, except for Mary. This guy just showed up all of us here. No, I know that's not true. I know that some of you did know, but you don't like to speak out too much. But, okay. So, Matthew 28:19. The church is supposed to go out and make disciples of all the nations. That's the Great Commission, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is something that's sacred to God. Mm-hmm. He He wishes, his desire is that all men would come to Christ and to the knowledge of the truth.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
This is a great commission. This is sacred to God. This is holy to God. He wants as many people to come into his family through Christ as possible. He would that all of them, all of us would.
Yes.
But not everybody in the world's going to, but that's what he wants.
Right.
And so he says, go out and make disciples of all the nations, right?
Yeah.
Now, there's something that is really important here that's sacred to God, and that is, don't just go out and get people converted to Christianity.
Right.
What's God say?
Make disciples.
What's a disciple?
Follow this person.
A person who's really following
Jesus.
Yeah. Give me some more information there.
That's it.
Student.
A student.
Yeah.
They're learning. They're constantly learning from the master.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's teaching involved. In fact, probably in a number of the translations, instead of the word disciples, it says, go and teach all the nations.
Yeah.
Because it deals with a continual learning of the Lord, the gospel, and of the Lord, and what he says to do, and getting a hearing ear to know when God is speaking something for us to do, and then to go out and do it. Sitting at the master's feet, in other words. Taking time out of the day to read the Bible, to pray to the Lord, to give him your time. Right? That's one thing that's very sacred. And the church has been very, very much on top of that great commission. But I want to talk about another one today. Okay? Would you turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3? This one isn't talked about that much. Because it doesn't say it as strongly as the Matthew 28, but 1 John chapter 3. Then I want to tie some things together. Alright, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. And that means probably every single person in here, after you leave here, or maybe even while you're here, you're going to sin. Hopefully not while you're here. But we sin all every day. We sin a lot. But it's not talking about that we're of the devil just because we sin. When we are sinning, then we're moving in what the devil wants out of us. Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a spirit realm thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So that's what that's talking about there. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
That was one of the reasons Jesus came and were to proclaim is that he came to save the world from sin. Right? The other thing that's not talked about as much is that he came to destroy the works of the devil.
Yes. Amen.
So let me ask you then, where do you see evidence of the works of the devil?
Everywhere.
Huh?
Everywhere.
Oh, everywhere? Yeah. Yeah. I have down here in big capital letters, everywhere. It's in all aspects of society, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
It's in government.
Yep.
It can be in family situations going on.
Mm-hmm.
Different social issues, education.
Yes.
And wouldn't you say, the more you've been around in this life, doesn't it seem like it's getting a little worse?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, but every generation says the same thing.
It means it's getting worse.
It keeps getting worse, doesn't it? The 50s, it was bad. The 60s was worse. The 70s was even badder.
That's right. That's the point. It keeps getting worse and worse.
What's that law?
Individually, sin is sin. Man is sin from the beginning, from the garden. So it isn't like anything's really brand new. But the amount, the depth of the depravity of things that have gone on, this is the kicker, what's accepted, what is accepted by the society at large, those things have changed.
Yes.
Big time.
Yeah.
Right? So, 1 Corinthians 3:9 says that we co-labor with him. Now, we're the body of Christ, right? We're the body of Christ. And we are his representatives in the world. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're to hear from the Spirit of God and to do. And at the beginning, I was talking about us being more of people of action, right? Now, so is the only place that we are to be praying and to be speaking up, is it only to be in this little sanctuary area?
No.
This you know. I know you know this. Where particularly?
Anywhere
and everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes.
I think we could say in places we least it. Oh, excuse me. I think we could say in places.
Don't forget the microphone, please.
Right, Debbie. I think we could say in places we least expect, because we come across an encounter that we never expect. And what are we going to do? And how are we going to relate? And where is the Holy Spirit? Because without him, we're going to stand there pondering when we should be relating.
Yes.
So I think that's what we got to get ready for.
Yeah.
That we be available to do those things. And that it's prompted by the Holy Spirit.
And this is going to come through our prayer life, where we really mean to be used of God in this life. Would there be anything greater than to be doing what God wants you to do in this life? Because there's, in fact, not only should we be doing it because he's God and he deserves it, but there's all kinds of rewards in the next life.
That's right.
Wow. That's pretty cool. So we need this. It isn't that we just are to pray. And I talked about this last week too. It isn't that we only pray about things. The church needs to be active in the physical realm as well as the spiritual realm. The battle is really in the spirit realm. But we have to engage not only there, but in this physical realm for it to have any kind of efficacy. We have to be there. We have to speak out, don't we? When there's situations that are going on in the world where that stinking enemy is rearing its head and doing things to our children, changing things around and creating a very perverse society. If all we're doing is praying, we're not doing enough. The church needs to really be stepping up. I know I said this last week, but I'm saying it again. There are ways that we must address as individuals, as individual Christians, when you see something, if there's something that's badly going on in the realm of government, and we, especially in America, have the opportunity to write to our representatives, to send how we feel about that, and we don't do it. This has been the problem. The church hasn't spoken up because we have accepted the paradigm of separation of church and state. And, we can't talk politics in church. Well, some things we can't. But there are things when the government is doing ungodly things, shouldn't we be stepping up then?
Yes.
Yeah, we should. We should. Look at the abortion issue. Look at all kinds of stuff that's going on in schools. Man, man.
Amen.
Thank you. I'm going to talk about some things next week, I think, if the Lord will have me. They're going to be uncomfortable things. They're going to be, oh, this is going on in the world to that degree. But you know what? If we're going to stand up against evil and look to destroy the works of the devil as our master has asked us to do, right? We're supposed to stand in the gap.
Yes.
It isn't just prayer. It starts with prayer. But it's got to be as God leads us in love and in the right timing and wisdom where we stand in the gap in places to stop this flow of evil. Because it isn't going to stop. It's going to keep getting worse unless someone stands in the gap. And who's that going
to
be? People that love righteousness, that want truth and righteousness in this life. That's who it's going to be. I hope that means us. Chris showed me, told me about some sites that I went to yesterday and was looking at, and I want to put something together and include some of that in the message next week. But one of the things it said is that one of the problems with the church is that the pastors won't address important issues that they want to get around it because they don't want to lose somebody from church because they feel uncomfortable with some of the topics, and this has to be addressed. Some of these things, if we can't address them, if we don't know they're going on, number one. If you don't know the extent that some of the rotten things that are going on in this world are to what extent it is, we wouldn't probably even think about it. It wouldn't come up into our minds. Oh, I wonder if this is going on in the world. We wouldn't even be thinking that way.
Yeah. It's not pinching on us yet.
Huh? No, it's not getting us. It's not touching us yet. But believe me, lots of things, if we don't address them now, are going to impinge on your life or a life of someone you love. Believe me. being a history teacher and seeing how that's happened in the world before, it's getting worse. Yes?
I guess this is a testimony. I've had two encounters this week that are kind of unbelievable. I went to the chiropractors, and what you just said about getting on the right links and learning more about this country and what's happening, and learning, you know, what we need to know, and knowing that there is hope coming down the road. But God is with us now, trying to see what we're made of, trying to build us up, trying to get us where we're supposed to be, so that we have that ability.
Something happened.
So that we have the ability to stand up.
Yes.
And that's what he's waiting for. And in the meantime, we're going through all of this crisis, and we're worrying, and we're sick. But the other thing, too, this morning, Ronnie and I are listening to worry. And it's like, what are we worrying about? Yeah. Today is today.
Yeah.
We accept today. We thank God for today and what he's given us. It's nothing about yesterday because it's gone.
Yeah.
Nothing about tomorrow because it hasn't come
yet.
So how can we be happy when we're already in tomorrow?
Yeah.
Because we're in today.
Yeah.
So today is it. Today God gives us today.
That's right.
So that chiropractor, I mean, he was talking so fast. Julie was there first. And his wife said, if you want to hear more, you better go in there and sit down. So, I mean, it was profound. I mean, I can't, poor Ronnie, I mean, it's just because we are going through something.
Yes.
Because he's allowing it, and he has a better plan
at
the other side.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other thing I want to say, the testimony, this man met me at the door of the church. I've never seen him. I don't know him. Anyhow, he's reading the Ten Commandments, and he started talking and talking and talking. I could have been fearful, in a sense.
Sure.
But I wasn't. And he asked me all these questions, and I'm answering them. That's the Holy Spirit. And then he's asking, are you afraid? I said, no, I'm not afraid. The word and truth is your sword and shield. So then he went on about that. But I mean, I guess the man was put there for me to see and to talk to, which was coming, you know, it's so unexpected that, you know, I just, and then I said, come to church Sunday. And I said, really, you would love our church. And he said, well, I'm from the Catholic denomination, but I'm so mixed up. And there's so many things in my family.
Yeah.
They would disown me. But you know what? You just, the faith of God, the spirit of God, and so I don't know. It was an encounter.
Yeah.
What happens next?
Divine appointment. There was a divine appointment. Sure was. So I'm gonna end this with there are two things I'm probably gonna touch on next week, just so that you know. Mandy had given me this pamphlet, Washington Impact Report, and it's about the Christian hostility in America. Prepare and stand. And it's all about what's going on in America, where Christians are having hostile reactions towards. So that's what this is about. So I want to talk a little bit for us to be aware. You can be told, you know, that there's some Christian persecution, but when you get a little more specifics, and you go, "Wow, that's happening in America."
Yeah.
In America,
yeah.
You know, then that gives puts a little more meat on the bones of it, and hopefully will stir us to prayer and possibly to some kind of action, right? Mm-hmm. Where we stand in the gap for people, where we write to people, or we different things, petitions, whatever. So that's what this is, and then the other thing is. Christian rights and Christian rights groups. That was part of what Chris gave me. And there was some very, very interesting, did you see it, Rich?
Mm-hmm.
Some very interesting pieces of that that I want you to become aware of. Maybe many of you, I know, well, Reggie knows, but if you haven't know what I'm talking about, there's so much more that the church doesn't even realize is going on in this country that we need to. And there are actual ways where there's already Christian groups that have already formed. We don't have to come up with, well, how are we going to take care of this? Because I think that's what stops a lot of us. Yet we don't know where to start. We don't know how to begin to stand in the gap in society. And here are some groups that are already there. I was so encouraged.
Yeah.
I was just so encouraged, you two, about these groups that were already started that give us some power and give us an avenue by which we can step into and step in the gap and maybe save situations, preserve, save, protect things that are going on in this nation, right?
And we never hear about those because mainstream media ain't
talking about those.
But be encouraged.
Be encouraged.
There's some very strong groups right now that are fighting tooth and nail to make an impact. Yeah. And so maybe it's our time to join those groups.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I can't stand it anymore. Pray that God has control of the outcome. Work is in your control of the outcome. The other thing that you mentioned, we're not talking about how other churches are caving into the attacks on Christianity. I went to a Presbyterian church in Lancaster last Sunday. I walked in and I asked them if the church was under construction because the walls were bare and the seats, it was a generic setting. And I asked them, I said, where's the American flag? Where's the crucifix? Well, we don't want to offend anybody in any other country. We want to appeal to everybody. That ain't going to work.
That's a whole other thing there, too.
But to listen to a church caving and succumbing to the propaganda and the attacks and whipping down, not standing up. The greatest thing that we do when we are as disciples is to shine light on the problem so that other people can see what's happened. Yeah. We're not going to change things like you said, but we're bringing light to the problems. Yeah. And hopefully others will join in and say, wow, look at this.
Yes.
That church was amazing. And to listen to that pastor and no cross, no American flag.
That's too bad. There's, last week was kind of more on that very topic, not giving way to the wicked. You know that it's important for us to stand on truth and stand on righteousness. So, yeah.
There's another encouraging thing that happened just this month with the Supreme Court. There was an 8-1 decision with just one dissent, and that was the Chief Justice who dissented for religious freedom of speech, and particularly religious speech was upheld on campuses. And basically it said that no government or maybe school official could against the right of a person to speak about his religion. And it's unbelievable that we even have to have a decision by the Supreme Court to uphold our Constitution, but yeah. We had to. And that was a really big win.
We can see a real big turnaround in our country, in our nation, in the state, in our communities. The more that we begin to step into places, Christians in particular places of decision making can make a real big difference. And as a total group, the church has really kind of backed away from that. And if we want to see some differences happen in this nation, so that our kids and our grandkids have really something to live for, then we need to step up. That doesn't mean everybody, but it does mean that God's going to call some people into particular places, and he does call all of us that our speech be seasoned with salt. So all of us have that responsibility, but God's going to call people into different positions, and don't think that it's wrong of us to get involved in these in these other enterprises, governmental or organizational things, because the Christian voice, and when I say that, I don't mean the church. I'm talking about what the Lord wants to say to people, what the Lord wants people to come to. You know, what's sacred to him, we want to have sacred to us, right? Amen. Thank you.
There is some preparation that goes in all of this, right? So,
yes.
So you've got to know facts, and you got to be able to display facts.
Yep.
What's happening right now is everybody's displaying feelings. And feelings are arguable, but facts are not arguable. So you got to have facts, but that means that you have to know the facts.
That's right. You've got to know.
So you've got to do a little digging. That's a little homework
yep.
for everybody, right?
Yeah, which then we can talk away. We can talk away, and so I don't have time for that. Okay, okay, but then we live with the consequences of that too, don't we? Yeah. Thank you, Richard.
Amen, Malcolm. I love that. You guys say, like, up here in the Northeast, we're like, you can't tell us what to say.
Yeah, right.
You can't tell me to say amen, Malcolm, if I don't want to say amen. You can't tell me. That's how we act. You're not going